We wouldn't be able to keep this archive going without your support. Donate online today at wyxr.org.
Welcome once again to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. We're coming to you tonight from the Powerhouse Arts Center in downtown Oxford, Mississippi.
When you're feeling way down low, got no place to go, can't find a lover, can't find no friend, can call you so and so, put your hand on the radio. Can you feel it down to your toes? Can you feel it?
What I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. As I mentioned, we're at the Powerhouse Arts Center right here, a stone's throw from the Oxford Square. Fine show for y'all tonight. We've got author Chad Holly is here and his novel, Shield the Joyous, about growing up in 1980s Mississippi. It'll remind you of your childhood and running around with all your friends in the neighborhood and yes, nailing a dead possum to an oak tree. We'll talk about that. Oh, yeah. Tate Moore is here, the great Tate Moore from the Kudzu Kings with his new band, Tate Moore and the Voyagers. I believe Tate's going to play some piano tonight, so we look forward to that. And, of course, Alvin Youngblood Hart is here. Alvin Youngblood Hart, one of the greatest guitar players, tours the world, great albums he has out. Look forward to hearing from Alvin. But we've got this big old band here, y'all. We need to go ahead and get another song out of them. Y'all, please bring them to the stage, the Yalla Bushwhacker Big Band. Boys and girls.
Big closer.
Yellow Bushwhacker Big Band, y'all. Let them hear you, please. Michael Worthy, Brandon Lewis, my man Doug Thomas on the horns back here, Ricky Burkhead, of course, Slade Lewis, Keon Love, of course, over there, Paul Tate, our band leader and arranger, and on the beautiful vocals, Mary Frances Massey, and on those beautiful congas that I mentioned earlier, Mr. Zach Castro helping us out. Yes, indeed, the Yellow Bushwhacker Big Band, y'all. That's getting it done. Harvest Moon, a beautiful Neil Young song that we play at planting time in the spring, because that's just how we roll, y'all. We're outlaws. Yeah, good fall song. Forget about it. All righty. My man Tate Moore, he's been around town here almost as long as I have, although your contributions are far greater, my man. With the great Kudzu Kings, one of the great bands of all time. He's been playing with them, fronting them for 25-plus years. Now got this new band that he's always playing with somebody, and right now he's playing with the Voyagers, which I believe maybe came together at the great Voyagers Rest night spot down there in Water Valley, Mississippi. We got him here tonight. They're playing all this weekend, so check your local listings, as we say. Y'all please welcome Tate Moore and the Voyagers. Tate.
Thank you, Jim. You know, my favorite era of Thacker Mountain Radio was the Duff Dura, Jim Dickinson era. So we got Marlo here, Marlo Dura from Ruleville, Duff's son. We're going to have him start this off. We're going to do one of his dad's, one of my dad's favorite songs. A baby blue pearl, a baby blue pearl. Like a mighty man, help somebody else. Up in the morning, do it again. Yeah, nobody got to be watching. Everybody is rotating. Nobody knows about nothing. All the children can be fabulous. They're eating that fruit right off the blessed tree. Tomorrow through it, heard the good Lord calls name. He says, boy, somebody got to be Monroe. Somebody got to be Mohammed. Somebody got to be Jeff Rowe. Somebody got to be Jeff Clampin. You
baby boomer was mine.
Thank you. Well, I know this is a very scholarly crowd, so I'm going to do a song that I mostly coined from the Faulkner novel, The Town. So anybody playing at home, if they're listening, can go to page 6 of The Town, and this is how Faulkner used to write about pretty women. Well, truth forever after, because forever after, nothing less will ever do. Old Flim took you to Varner to the farm, and now he's got her. She's more woman than any one man should hold. You could feel it in the air, a kind of despair. You knew there could never be enough of any one male to match and hold her or deserve her. Yes, true forever after, because forever after, nothing less will ever do. Old Flim took you to Varner to the farm, and now he's got her. She's more woman than any one man should hold. Well, it's against the law to drive to Arkansas for medicine and seedlings for the spring. It's funny how things change, but the seed remains the same. Just ask the Mississippi Supreme Court. You can chew your bit of thumb for reasons such as these with your big footprint in your water tower. But there's just too much of what she was for any one male to contain her. Yes, true forever after, because forever after, nothing less will ever do. Old Flim took you to Varner to the farm, and now he's got her. She's more woman than any one man should hold. She's more woman than any man should hold. To do you another Duff song. Thank you. take the bus. Yes, I wish somebody could tell me what it was. I'm talking about living. I'm talking about dying. It's all about the time. A time, time, time so precious to you and me. Time, 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 a golden commodity. Time, 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 time. We can do it. Give us a little mambo beat.
Tate Moore, y'all. Let him hear you. And the Voyagers. Matt Pierce up here on the guitar. Marlo Dura back. Our boy, Marlo Dura. And Justin Chihuahua over there on bass. Tate Moore and the Voyagers. Thank you, gentlemen. Oh, it's always a pleasure to be reminded of good old Duff. Man, what a guy. As a matter of fact, we had a very nice show this past Saturday at Delta State University where they still offer the Duff Dura Memorial Scholarship in Art and Music, both of his passions. We were very proud to be associated with that. Absolutely. Bless old Duff. Bless that whole family. I want to remind you that you are listening to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. You're hearing us tonight on WUMS, University of Mississippi. Also on the stations of Mississippi Public Broadcasting, the stations of Alabama Public Radio, WYXR, Community Radio in Memphis, Tennessee. WUTC, Radio in Chattanooga, Tennessee. KUOT, Public Radio in Knoxville, Tennessee. And KNCE, True Taos Radio in Taos, New Mexico. We love all our listeners and appreciate them. Also, we'd like to thank our Thacker backers, Carol Etheridge Family Foundation, Dr. Stephen and Gay Case, the good folks at Delta Magazine, Larry and Michael Johnson Family Foundation, Mississippi Arts Commission, the Mississippi Hills Heritage Alliance, a new sponsor. We welcome you, Mississippi Hills Heritage Alliance, absolutely. Pearly Peacock Designs, surely the only time those two have been mentioned together. R&B Fader Foundation, the good folks at Square Books, the mothership, if you will. Visit Oxford, Volunteer, Mississippi, Wonderbird Spirits, Distillery in Taylor, Mississippi, where this show will take place next week. That's right, a week from tonight, Thursday. It's our spring break. The Yonapatawba Arts Council and the good folks at Snooki and Mary Lou Williams Foundation of Water Valley, Mississippi. Our front row. Ah, yes, yes, yes. You too can be a Thacker backer and keep this craziness going on into the hemispheres and into the ether. More information at ThackerMountain.org. Keon Love, y'all. How about Keon? Thank you, man. Also, I want to thank our Green Room sponsors back there who feed and water the troops, Red Panther Brewery, Cathead Distillery, and Connie's Chicken. Fried chicken and vodka, y'all. I mean, that's why this show is what it is, yeah. We're all hopped up on that stuff. All righty. Chad Holly, Shield the Joyous is the name of this novel. It is from Bull City Books. One of the questions I jotted down to ask you was, because invariably, like when you go back to your old grade school or your old neighborhood, and you remember something so vividly, and you get there, and it's completely not what you remembered, and you realize your memory is faulty at best. How do you obviously use your memory in the writing of this book in particular? I'm wondering, do you trust your memory, or you just say, I don't care, I'm going to
I don't trust my memory at all. And yeah. If I did before I started this book, I don't now.
Everybody had, so many of us had neighbors like these kids, and you run with them, and you play with them, and your parents, as I said. And our Michael falls in love with, I guess it's kind of his best friend's sister, Wendy.
Yeah. And I wouldn't dispute that he falls in love with her, but I think one of the preoccupations he has, that the book has, is does he even know what love means? You know, he asks her to capital G go with him, so that's kind of a big step for him, but he doesn't really even know what to do from there. So,
and she when he asks her to go with him, capital G, she sends the answer back via one of her friends. She doesn't give him, it's almost like dealing with the North Koreans or something.
Yeah. And in more ways than one, because technically he doesn't ask her to go with him. He has a moment inspired by Arthur Fonzarelli where he goes up to her in the hallway and says, "Hey, baby, go with me." And she just says, "Oh my gosh," and walks off. And but she sends, you know, word through her best friend at the end of the day, and the answer is Wendy says okay.
And that just makes this day, of course.
Yeah, and he says, you know, in fairness, there was no actual question pending, so, you know, fair enough.
I love the detail that you give about Wendy, that she still has her braces, but she got her rubber bands off.
She was a looker, yeah.
So there's a whole sort of long, good subplot with Wendy. Now, in a neighborhood like this, a good southern neighborhood, there's got to be that sort of weirdo loner guy that sort of scares the kids.
Was me. No.
And here he is. In the book, we're not going to give anything away, but his name is Cletus. And can you tell us anything about Cletus? He's a very enigmatic figure. He's scary.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking earlier. Yeah, he's clearly inspired a little bit, you know, at least in the background, sort of a Boo Radley kind of vibe.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But yeah, he's more than that. And there's a, I don't want to say too much, but there's a very interesting relationship, let's just say that, between the narrator, the young boy, and this Cletus in terms of just their relationship to who they are and their identities. So yes. I don't want to say too much more than that. I'll get confusing and give anything away. So.
No, you're right. And it needs to be a little something the reader can discover. We want you to read just a little bit from it, but I do want to ask you about the title, Shield the Joyous. Anybody here familiar where that might come from? I'll give you a hint. It comes from a prayer. That's why I didn't know it. Tell us where the title comes from.
Fair enough.
Please, Chad.
Yeah, it's a phrase in a prayer in the Episcopal Book of Common Prayer. It's attributed to St. Augustine, so it's very old. The prayer is in the book, and it's a bit of a plot device in a way, so I don't want to say too much about it, but it's in terms of just in my own experience of writing the book, the prayer in early drafts, long, long ago, did not necessarily play such an important role, but in working on the book for, I actually spent about 19 years off and on working on this book.
Oh, wow.
And that prayer actually, probably because I was praying to just finish the book, but it became more and more important to me, and it became central to my conception of the whole book. And and it ended up giving the book its name. So yeah, the phrase is pretty important.
From St. Augustine, and it just really struck me, please grant rest to the weary, bless the dying, soothe the suffering, pity the afflicted, shield the joyous. And I'm thinking, man, we do this every Thursday.
You do.
So
you
much
sure
fun.
Do.
And we need protection because we're having so much fun. Somebody needs to shield us because we're not paying attention to anything.
Right, yeah.
We're having
shield
the joyous.
That's the way it is beautiful. I love it.
All right, now one more thing before we get you to read.
Sure.
Growing up, I had friends. In fact, my older brother could do that whistle thing with his hands. Can y'all do that? Can you do that?
All right, let's see if I can do it. I don't know, but I used to could do it. I really could. So let's see.
Hold on,
I got this.
You got it.
Yeah, there you go. You wouldn't believe how long I spent as a kid figuring out how to do that.
Yeah. Man, I hope you do that at every book event you have because that is killer.
I need to work on it a little bit.
I believe, or we're going to hear a little bit about Richie Whedon.
Yeah, I'll read
one of my favorite characters. You're going to love this. Again, y'all, sitting down and reading this book, it is joyous, although there's some very serious things, as you might think, in a sort of a family neighborhood drama, but really well written and just very evocative, and it'll put you in a good mood after reading it, and you will be joyous. Again, it is Shield the Joyous. Y'all, please welcome again Chad Holly.
Thank you. Yeah, so Jim and I were talking about a character he really liked in the book named Richie Wiggins, and so I'll just read a little bit about Richie. It comes from near the end of the book. There's a ton of little boys and other characters in this book, and Richie's one that sort of passes through. Richie Wiggins was not unintelligent, but unnervingly opaque, the sort of child who appeared exceedingly pleased at odd moments and was perhaps too easily talked into playing the cumbersome, disrespected instruments in the bands. Richie would turn up in the neighborhood at random intervals, come from out in the county to live in town a while with his grandparents, a withdrawn old pupwooder and the wife of his youth, whose house sat back up in the woods, out of sight, down an unpaved tentacle off the development. At school, for whatever reason, I never saw much of Richie, but when he lived with his grandparents, we rode the same bus home, and on these rides he was indiscriminately sociable to the point of growing hoarse and damp-headed with sweat. One afternoon, the frustrated gladiatrix who drove our bus with a short-handled boat paddle within reach on the dash looked up in the rearview mirror and growled at Richie to turn around, sit down, and be quiet, please, sir. How about it? Richie obliged her just long enough to smile back at her in the mirror, pull a 3x5 index card from his shirt pocket, and hold it up for her to see. It had "No thank you" written on it. Richie then repocketed the card and sprang from his seat to join another conversation. To this day, it remains one of the deftest, most strangely satisfying things I have ever seen. But what came immediately to mind when I heard that as a 32-year-old man, Richie Wiggins had taken his life with a handgun was the afternoon he crashed a Tupelo football game in my front yard and demanded to be tackled. To clarify, we often played tackle, particularly when the game was roughhouse, that one-against-all affair in which one boy stands with his back to the others, tosses the ball over his head like a bridal bouquet, and whoever catches it takes off with everyone in pursuit until they grab him and pile on and ride him to the ground. After which he gets up, stands with his back to the others, tosses the ball over his head like a bridal bouquet, and so on until somebody cries or gets in a fight or can't stand up or see very well anymore. But when we craved the more sophisticated, elegant, collaborative aspects of the sport, when we wanted to huddle, run plays, throw passes, we typically chose up teams and went two below, more effetely known among some as two-hand touch below the waist. The device saved time and energy and, especially to the point, facilitated a certain shift of focus from cracking bones and bloody meat and into the cannon's mouth courage to skill, athleticism, outright pleasure, which evidently did not interest Richie. The first time he got his hands on the ball that afternoon, he stashed it under his arm like a load of stove wood, lowered his sweaty head, and started chasing his own teammates, the rest of us, everybody, all over the yard. We fled as before a disease, shouting over our shoulders at this stumpy-legged boy with the bull's fronds and strange motivations to stop, man, it was two below. When we could no longer deny that a new event was in progress, we took turns cutting across his path like rodeo clowns until the artless and overanimated Sidney Sizemore, desperate for promotion in our eyes, was able to get an angle on Richie, swoop in from behind, and pop him below the waist. "Got him! Got him! I got him!" Sidney screamed as some of us began to risk our best casual walk. But it did not work, and again we fled. Mercifully, at last, Richie wandered of his own inscrutable volition into an end zone, where he began to celebrate, humming and chuckling as he waltzed in graceful circles, hands on his leather partner's laced waist, impervious to our screaming that, "Nuh-uh, nuh-uh, it was two below." "Touchdown," Richie assured his dance partner, and waltzed on. What were we to do? We quit the yard and left them to it. Sidney Sizemore said, who the devil invited that kid anyway?" Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Good job, man. Thank you. Chad Holly, y'all. Chad Holly. Shield the Joyous from Bull City Books. And Chad will join us out front at the Square Books table, sign copies of Shield the Joyous, and visit with us some more. Some of you may know some of Chad's kinfolk, particularly his wife, Claire Holly, the great songwriter. She's been on the show a few times. I believe we've got her coming up. So we love Claire, and thank you, Chad. Very, very cool book. All right, Alvin Youngblood Hart. How about this, y'all? Alvin Youngblood Hart. Grammy winner, Grammy nominee. I did a stint a few months ago with Mike Campbell from Tom Petty's band. He plays with anybody that needs him. And, of course, his own albums. I encourage you to seek them all out. They are all great. And, of course, the North Mississippi Hill Country Picnic at the end of every June. Alvin, I no offense to anybody that plays there, but it's always the best and most interesting set. There's about 40 bands, so there you have it. But we got him here tonight. Y'all please give him a warm welcome, our buddy Alvin Youngblood Hart.
Good evening, friends. This song here, it's a song I learned from my friend, the late great David Honeyboy Edward Tyrrell.
Thank you.
This tune I wrote back in the 20th century. It's inspired by a good friend of mine, a guy by the name of Henry J. Townsend, who was from a place called Shelby, Mississippi, just south of Memphis. And he ran away from home when he was 8. Never went back. In Carroll County. Beautiful, friendly, spacious. Did I say friendly? Spacious. Carroll County, Mississippi. And I thought it was completely normal. I thought everybody's grandparents lived in a log cabin in the middle of nowhere until I went to school and found out different. But anyways, a little ditty about going home to grandma's. Here we go.
Thank you, thank you. Alvin Youngblood Hart, y'all, let him hear you. Good stuff. The man. Thank you, Alvin. Alvin Youngblood Hart, our man. Thank y'all for coming out tonight. What a great show and a great time we've had. If you don't mind, I'd like to thank all of our guests one more time for Tate Moore, if you don't mind. Tate Moore and the Voyagers. Great band, great sound. Chad Holly, y'all. Chad Holly, great book, man. Thank you so much. Shield the Joyous. Chad will join us after the show. And one more time for Alvin Youngblood Hart, if you don't mind. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wonderful. The great Taj Mahal said of Alvin, "The boy has thunder in his hands." It's so true, yeah. All right, next week, a week from tonight, we will be in Taylor, Mississippi at the Wonderbird Spirits Distillery. It is just up from Taylor Grocery, not all the way to Taylor Grocery. You'll see the signs there on Old Taylor Road. Love to have you join us. Free admission. We're going to get up in that distillery, and I don't know what the fumes do with that. They're making gin up in there, so I'm not sure. Yeah, you hate that, don't you, Paul? All right, so please join us out there. As I mentioned, free admission, and we'll have a fine author and some great music and a very unique venue. A lot of fun out there. In the meantime, thank y'all for being here. Thank y'all for enjoying this show and keeping us going all these years. We will see you on the radio. Boys and girls. Oh, look at her.
Just like a star across my sky, just like an angel off the page, you have appeared to my life. Feel like I've never been the same. Just like a song in my heart, just like oil on my hands. I'm to love you. Still I wonder why it is I don't argue like this with anyone but you. We do this look I can't describe. You make me feel I'm alive when everything else is a fool. Have a doubt you're on my side. Heaven has been away too long. Can't find the words to write the song. Oh, you're love.
Thacker Mountain Radio Hour's executive director is Lucy Gaines. Our production director is Tim Lee. Our broadcast and post-production engineer is Jeffrey Reed. Our front of house engineer is Blake Gardner.
Support for WIXR comes from Mempho Presents, featuring the Outlaw Tour 10th Anniversary Show at Radiance Amphitheater on Friday, June 27th. Featuring Willie Nelson and family, Bob Dylan, Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats, and Trampled by Turtles. Tickets and more information at memphopresents.com.
Support for WYXR comes from Campfire Collective, a Memphis-based agency that empowers their clients through community-focused marketing and loves all things Memphis. More information on how Campfire Collective can feed the flames of your organization's marketing at buildacampfire.com.
Support for WYXR comes from Germantown Performing Arts Center, presenting the Sam Grisman Project, the music of Jerry Garcia and David Grisman, on Friday, March 21st. A platform built by Sam Grisman and his friends to showcase their passion and appreciation for the legacy of his father, David Grisman, Jerry Garcia, and other musical icons. Tickets and more information at gpacweb.com.